This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. They are called long-line fishing boats, and they are equipped with tens of thousands of hooks. These boats keep grocery stores supplied with highly prized fish such as tuna, swordfish, and halibut. Unfortunately, these long-line boats kill 100,000 albatrosses a year. A new report in the journal Science describes one possible solution. Here's NPR's John Nielsen.
Albatross wings are very thin and ridiculously long, or so they seem until you see them working. Naturalist Carl Safina is the author of Eye of the Albatross.
They spend about 90% of their time at sea flying day and night, and over the course of a life that may last 50 or 60 years, they will fly millions of miles. In fact, an albatross that gets to be 50 years old has flown at minimum 3.7 million miles.
Nobody knows exactly what the albatrosses do with all of this gliding time, and until a few years back, it really didn't seem to matter. Up until the end of the 1980s, albatrosses only seemed to be at risk when they landed on islands to breed. That exposed them to hungry rats, dogs, foxes, and hunters. But long-line fishing boats changed this equation in the 1990s when they started killing albatrosses in large numbers at sea. John Cruxall, head of conservation biology with the British Antarctic Survey, says these boats haul baited lines that are often tens of miles long.
And they bait the hooks with albatrosses' favorite food, squid and fish, and the birds try to remove this bait before the hooks sink and they can no longer reach it.
Birds hooked while taking the bait are dragged beneath the waves and drowned. A single vessel can kill hundreds of these birds, and the global fleet now kills more than 100,000 albatrosses every year. Cruxall says far fewer drownings would occur if the long lines could be weighted in ways that make them sink into the water more quickly. But changes like these cost money, and so far the owners have balked.
You know, until you can tell us which fishery, which fleet, what time of year, you know, it's too much to expect us to change the fishing practice.
It took Cruxall 5 long years to find that information. He did it by attaching lightweight tracking devices to the legs of 30 gray-headed albatrosses, which live near Antarctica. When the batteries on these devices died 5 years later, Cruxall collected the tags, downloaded the data, and looked for patterns. As expected, the birds often rode completely around the world on the prevailing winds.
But then, from time to time, they do something very different. They stop directional flying, and they clearly then start to reside in an area where they're going to make touchdowns to look for food. And they may do that for days, weeks, or in some cases, perhaps even a month or so.
These are the places where limiting longliners would do the most good, he says. But setting up protected zones in international waters is a difficult task, and naturalist Carl Safina says there are some things that could be done sooner.
And one way of doing it is to actually manufacture the gear in such a way or rig the boats in such a way that these things can be checked when the boat is at the dock or before the boat goes out fishing rather than have to police the ocean.
Cruxall says there's an urgent need to track the other 20 species of albatross to find out where they tend to stop and feed. But that'll take at least another 5 years, and some of these birds might not last that long. According to a recent report from the World Conservation Union, 19 of the world's 21 kinds of albatross are now near extinction. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.